So you'll have your Bibles open at Luke chapter 15. Now I wonder this morning why you actually come to church. Why do you actually come and why do you actually physically make this journey to come to church? Is it because you actually come because you want to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it to be told that you're actually a very good person? Or is it to be told that how you can become a better person or a prosperous person? Or maybe it's because you always have done. Out of tradition, you've come along. Like a door on its hinges, it just comes and goes. Maybe that's you this morning. Or have you come to be challenged, to be shaken up, to be stirred, and to be told the honest truth that you are a sinner and that you all need a saviour. Now here in this chapter in Luke that we're looking at, we'll spend the majority of our time really at the first 7 verses, the parable of the lost sheep. But at the very beginning here it says, then the tax collectors and the sinners, they drew near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained. So here we read that these tax collectors and these sinners, they drew near. Now if you draw near to someone, what's that actually saying? They could have been drawing near, okay, out of interest because they've heard and seen some of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has said or done. They maybe have heard the previous parable that he'd been talking about in Luke chapter 14. Maybe the parable of the Great Supper, where the servants are encouraged to go out and to bring in the outcasts, the social outcasts, to bring them into that supper. Maybe they like to hear a good story. Or maybe it's because they know that they would be received in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they know that Jesus does not turn people away. Now for us, when we are spiritually low, it's good, or it's not necessarily good, but we like to hear things that are uplifting, don't we? Things that lift our spirits, things that encourage us. Even if we're on a spiritual high, it's always nice to hear those things which encourage us further in our faith. And you could say, yes, we always need that. But there are other things that we also need. And in this case, with these three parables that the Lord Jesus says, he confronts these people with one very distressing fact, really. And that's the fact, not for just these people, but for everyone. And it's the problem of their sin. And we each have this problem. Now, John Wesley, when he started preaching, or when after he became truly converted, he started preaching around in churches in London. And he would often start his sermons by saying that we're all sinners. And it's surprising how many churches he preached at, and he got thrown out of the whole building, and was never invited again, because people didn't like to be called sinners. They didn't like that fact. They hated to be called sinners. They liked to be thought of as holy and righteous people who are going to church and making a difference. But his preaching wasn't really effective until he went to a really poor mining village, where he said basically the same things. He said, look, we're all sinners. And they understood. And they said, yes, I know I'm a bad person. And they actually received him as a preacher, and they also received the message that he brought to them. Now you could say here the Pharisees are just like those people in those churches in London. They didn't like to hear that they were sinners. In fact, they actually criticize the Lord Jesus for actually sitting with sinners. He says, look, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And then he directs these first two parables really at them and also the tax collectors. So here, in these first couple of verses, we see three groups of people. The tax collectors, who were rich people, they were money grabbers really, hated by everybody. The sinners. Now this word sinners, it actually means that they were completely open about their sin. They lived in sin. They were living a sinful lifestyle. You name it, they were doing it. Again, they were hated by many because they were seen as the riffraff. They were seen as disgusting people. And then you've got these Pharisees who were proud, lovers of themselves. They were arrogant, condescending, and they certainly didn't like the other two. Well, definitely the sinners. They certainly didn't like the tax collectors because of the money they would have had to give, but the sinners in particular. Now, the Lord Jesus here addresses each of these groups of people with these parables. And he uses stories which they understand, like the lost sheep. He actually directs that at the Pharisees, the lost coin, toward the tax collectors. And then if we look at the last one, the parable of the lost son, it actually shows the tax collectors and the Pharisees that actually they are no better than this poor sinner, than these sinners that are sitting with him. They are all as this lost son, prodigal living. But also each of these things, they portray a different characteristic of our lives, of our, how sinful we are and the ways in which we are sinful, which is why I think all of us can relate to all of them. If we look at the lost sheep, what does the Bible say about sheep? Well, in Isaiah 53 verse 6, it says that we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We tend to do our own thing, don't we? And we make huge mistakes, stupid mistakes. And we try to get ourselves out of trouble and we get deeper and deeper into it. The lost coin. If we think of what a coin is, it's just a lump of metal, really. It can't do anything for itself. It's completely, you know, it's dead, really. It can do nothing. And we're told in Ephesians that we are dead. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. That there is nothing in us that would want to turn to God. And compared to the rest of the woman's coins, that one coin wasn't worth very much. And really, you may think that we as people, we're not worth a huge amount really compared to some others or some people who appear to be holy and really, really useful to God. But to the woman, that coin was priceless. To the shepherd, that sheep was priceless. It was so important. And of course, the lost son, who I know we can all easily relate to, is rebellious. Rebellious against his father, rebellious against his family. And we, as human beings made in the image of God, we are rebellious toward God. This man, this son here, he resented his family and wanted to leave. And when he did, he lived in sin. He lived in, did all those things which were not pleasing at all to his family. He would have brought dishonor to his family. And those things which brought dishonor to God. He lived in sin. And ultimately, towards the end, he became a slave to sin. But it was only the Father who could deliver him from it. And it's only God who can deliver you and me from the power of sin in our lives, from the power of the devil, the power of Satan. Now in verse 4, of chapter 15, Jesus here, it says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness? So he's putting the Pharisees here and the scribes in the shoes of someone who can lose something. And also, actually, if we go to verse 8, or what woman having 10 silver coins is doing the same thing there. But maybe we could say that he's putting the tax collectors in that same situation, in this predicament of losing something valuable. Now, in the third parable, as we've just looked at briefly, we know that sinners are, surprisingly, not to us, we know that we're sinners, we know that we feel we're worthless, but we actually have a value beyond measure. Which is why we look at, really, in verse 1, the complaint or the accusation which the Pharisees make against the Lord Jesus Christ. He says this, they say, this man receives sinners. Now, really, I know it was an accusation. They said it in such a horrible way, but actually it's true, isn't it? And it's a wonderful thing to remember. So these three parables, they have a common message, and that is the state of your soul and mine. That we are sinners before God. And it also states the value of the soul. It's beyond measure. We cannot put a price on it. It's priceless. But also that there is joy. Joy over a repentant sinner. Joy over one who turns to God. And also there is one looking. The shepherd, the woman, the father. The Father, it says about the Father that he was looking. He says when it was a great way off, he was looking. It wouldn't have been just that one day that he happened to be out there looking. I'm pretty sure that he would have been out there the day after he left, looking for his son to come back. And that one, in each of those parables, who is looking is the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for his lost sheep. Now in the Bible, we are, as human beings, we are compared to not only sheep, but also goats. Now there's quite a stark difference between goats and sheep. I don't know if anyone keeps any, or if you perhaps, you know, people who keep some. My brother's got both. It's interesting, actually, if we draw a comparison between them both, how much we can actually learn just from actually looking at them and watching them and seeing how they act towards each other and towards other people. And it's quite amazing how they show us how we are. Goats, for example, they are happy to look after themselves. You can leave them alone and they'll sort themselves out, basically. They'll find food, they'll find water, and they'll live happily on their own. They'll still escape, but they don't go far, and it's actually very easy to get them back. At my brother's place, two of his escaped, and I literally just walked up to them and grabbed them by the collar. And then after I grabbed them by the collar, they knew what they had to do. I didn't actually have to lead them back to the gate at all. They actually dragged me to the gate. I opened the gate and they went through, and that was it. Something else as well, they will go to anybody. If you go up to a field with goats in and sort of wave a bit of food out or something, they'll come running towards you. And they don't tend to get themselves in trouble. If they do, they'll easily get themselves out of it. Sheep, on the other hand, are vastly different. They need constant care. They need, obviously they can eat grass and things, but they need supplements. They need extra vitamins, extra things that keep them healthy. Whereas goats will remain healthy, sheep are actually, they're quite problematic and they're quite susceptible to some sort of illness, and they need medication. Remember, goats will go to anybody, sheep won't. They only go to the shepherd that they know. which is very interesting, really, considering that the shepherd in this case is the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it says, I think, if we turn a few pages to John chapter 10, verse 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It's amazing, isn't it, how sheep are just exactly how the Lord says they are. And it should be exactly how we are in our relationship with our Lord and Savior. We should hear him. We should hear his voice through the word of God, and we should follow. Now, sheep as well, they also get into trouble. But they can't get themselves out like goats can. Another person I know who's got sheep, he went out one morning and counted them, and one was missing. And as he was looking around his field, he eventually found it, and it had got into some brambles. And obviously it tried to, instead of getting stuck and just waiting, it tried to get itself out. And in doing that, it had brambles wrapped right around itself, all over its head, its body. And when he did finally get it out, it had cuts all over it, and it took a long time for that sheep to heal. I won't tell you where the sheep is now. But also, if you have to round up goats, like I said earlier, it's a very simple thing to do. But rounding up sheep that have escaped, it's really hard work. I've been in a couple of situations where I've helped, and you stand there and you sort of try and shoo them in a certain direction, and there's a big gate in front of them. It's open. It's very obviously open. It appears that they've seen it. They'll charge and they'll hit the wire fencing right next to it. And it's really frustrating. But the sad thing is, that's you and me. We are just like sheep. We make these stupid mistakes. We try and get ourselves out of it. And we just get deeper and deeper in these troubles. We try to make ourselves better, don't we, as Christians? We try to spend more time reading the Bible. We try to be more spiritual. We try to serve God in maybe the Sunday school or the youth club or other ministries, or even being a missionary. We try and do these sacrificial things to make us better, to make God want to receive us. We try to do this, we try to do that, but the fact is, we can't actually do anything except look up. We can't do anything except look to the Lord Jesus Christ and to cry out to him, to cry out to our shepherd. And he is the only one strong enough to help us and to get us out of whatever these predicaments are. Ultimately, of course, it's the problem of sin in our lives. Now, something that's really hard for us as Christians is to look around us and to see perhaps non-Christians who we know, or maybe we don't know too many, but we can see lots of people around us. They appear to have an easy life, don't they? They're rich, healthy, active, well-travelled people. They don't seem to have many worries in life. They pretty much do as they want. They do as they please. And they're successful at it. But they have no regard for God. They don't understand that they are actually sinners. They're in a sinful state. They think they're good people. And whereas we look at ourselves as Christians and we can think, well, life is so hard. Why is it so hard? We've got so many problems. And we know really deep down that we've got to just call out to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to trust in him. We've got to just lean upon him. It's simple, really, isn't it? But why is it so hard? Why can't we do it? Why can't we do that? Well, the simple reason is that we are like sheep. We are this lost sheep. We want to be independent, like the goats. We want to sort of be self-sufficient. But we can't, because we have these problems. We have the problem of sin. We know that we are sinners. Non-Christians, they don't really fully understand that they are evil people. They're bad people. They've done things wrong. They've done things which offend God. But we know we are, and we must surrender completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, "And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He carries it so it can stray no longer." Isn't that wonderful? That as lost sinners, when found by the Lord Jesus Christ, you are picked up so that you can no longer stray, so that you can no longer go for, desire these things. Although deep down we know that those desires are still there, really. But by God's grace, He will keep us on the straight and narrow, following him, following our shepherd. But we've got to keep listening to him. We need to keep listening to his voice through reading his word, by really spending that time with him. And it's wonderful that he picks up the shepherd and puts him on his shoulders, because it shows us really that our salvation, it does not depend on anything you've done, any righteous act that you have done. It doesn't depend on that. It depends on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has promised that he will deliver you, that he will take you safely back to the fold, safely one day in heaven. Christ has done it all. So why don't we just look to the Lord Jesus, trust him, call out to him. Now, I said earlier that the value of your soul, or our souls in general, really, that is priceless. It cannot be measured. But in these parables, we actually see that Christ's compassion knows no bounds as the shepherd goes after the strays. He doesn't go after the 99. Not too worried about the 99 that need no repentance. The Pharisees, who don't believe that they are sinners. They are self-righteous. Jesus came to seek and save those which were lost. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And it's wonderful how he goes after those strays, sinners like you and me. Again, we read in verse 1 what the Pharisees said about him. "This man receives sinners." What does that tell us really about the love of God? That the love of God is truly amazing. I want to look at three aspects really of God's love. God's love is an active love. He doesn't sit and mourn the loss of his sheep. He actually gets up and does something about it. He looks until he finds it. And the amazing thing is, we've read that in here in Luke 15, but if we go right back to the beginning of the Bible, go to Genesis chapter 3, and I'll read verse 8 and 9. So this is just after Adam and Eve have fallen, have sinned. They knew that they were sinned. They knew that they had sinned. They sewed fig leaves together and they covered themselves. And they went and hid. And they heard, verse 8 says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Now here's the amazing part in verse 9. "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Do you not find that amazing? that God actually took the initiative right then, right back then. God has been seeking those who are lost. He saw Adam and Eve. He knew that they had sinned. He knew that they had broken his law, broken his command. Yet he still came to look for them. And that's what he's still doing this day. He's still looking for the lost today, seeking out those who are sinners, those who know that they are sinners and need salvation. He's calling out and crying out to you that you may be saved, that you may then in turn cry out to him to be saved. God's love is a strong love, very strong love, like we saw in verse 5, how he lays the sheep on his shoulders. He carries the sheep. The Lord God carries sinners. Ultimately, he carries them home. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that it all depends on the Lord, the strength of God, not our own strength. It depends on him. And the wonderful thing is that he delights to show mercy. If we were to turn back to Micah in chapter 7. I think we read this actually last week somewhere. I think maybe in the prayer meeting. Micah chapter 7. Look at verse 18 and 19. It says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." That's something that the Lord delights in. He delights to show mercy to you, no matter how old you are, no matter where you're from, no matter your background. He delights to show mercy to sinners. God's love is a sacrificial love. Now the shepherd, he didn't just have a little wander around a field, couldn't see it, and then thought, oh well, got plenty more where they came from. He actually went well out of his way. He searched and searched. Now, we're not told exactly how long it took, but I'll imagine it probably wouldn't have taken just a few minutes. It could have taken hours. It could have taken days to find this sheep. But then the other thing is, when he found it, it may not be just a case of, oh, there it is, let's go and pick it up. It could have been very awkward, like that sheep I told you about earlier, stuck in the brambles. My friend had to get all those brambles off. Now that would have been, I think, just as painful for him as it would have been for the sheep. Now we don't know where the sheep was. It could have been stuck in a ravine or something. But the shepherd had to go well out of his way to save that which was lost. Again, if we turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 15. It says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." So God's love is sacrificial. He's laid down his life for sinners, for you and for me. See, he died on that cross to pay the penalty for the sins which you had committed, for the sins which I had committed. And then just turn a few pages to John chapter 15. And verse 13. See, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." He could have done nothing more. That's how much the Lord Jesus loves to save, loves sinners. He gave his life He gave everything. That is everything that he gave to save you and to save me. If only we call out to him and we trust in him. Finally, I want to go back to verse 2 in Luke 15, which really is the essence of this chapter. It says, "And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" The very accusation that these Pharisees have made against the Lord Jesus Christ actually turns out to be the essence of the whole chapter. That this man receives sinners. And not only is that the essence of the whole chapter, but it's the essence of the gospel. This man receives sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ receives sinners. But not only that, as we looked earlier at Genesis chapter 3, it's actually the essence of the whole Bible. That the Lord Jesus Christ receives sinners. He has compassion on the lost. He's tender-hearted toward the lost. He shows kindness in, well, you can't even measure it. And he does not drive away. He does not drive people away. He says in John 6:37, "The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." Isn't that amazing? That whoever comes to the Lord Jesus Christ will be received. And he receives you to sanctify you, to conform you to his image, to be more like him day by day. And then one day, or one bright morning, he'll receive all sinners who have called upon him, all sinners who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He will receive them into heaven. Isn't that an amazing thing? Are you lost today? Something else about the lost sheep. Well, what does a lost sheep do? Or a lamb? If it gets lost, it gets stuck. What does it do? It starts bleating, doesn't it? They're crying out for their mother. Or the shepherd. We, as sinners, we must cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. We may be drawn away or enticed by something. And sometimes it's really hard to let go. We need to let go of certain things which really draw us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in the late 1800s, there was an expedition to climb the north face of the Eiger. The Eiger is a mountain in Switzerland, very high. And the north face of it is basically almost a sheer cliff. And a group of mountaineers, they went out and they climbed it, or attempted to climb it, and they got into great difficulty. I'm not sure how it all happened, but I think some of them ended up being just suspended on a rope, and they couldn't reach the cliffside at all. They were hanging out, and they couldn't really do much. Anyway, some people saw this through a telescope or something, and they actually went through the train, the tunnel, which goes through the mountain. And through that tunnel, about halfway along somewhere, or halfway up, as you say, there is a doorway or an opening which can take you out onto the cliff face. And a group of men, they got out there, and they were close to this man who was hanging on this rope. So they climbed, they traversed along the side of the cliff and got as much as underneath him as they could. And they cried out to him, "Look, there's enough of us here. Get your knife out, just cut the rope. We'll catch you." And he couldn't do it. He didn't have the energy to do it, maybe, or he didn't really want to do it. And he just gave up. And he remained there and he died. But there are some things that we need to cut off, to cut away, because it's drawing us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done all that is necessary for our salvation. So let's not do things which we know draw us away from serving him. We must just trust our shepherd. Even if it means cutting something off and just falling into his arms, that's what we've got to do. We must just look to him, lean upon him, that we may be saved and that one day we would then be with him forever and ever in heaven. This man receives sinners and eats with them.